Chris Graham and Scott German, and we are here at John Paul Jones Arena, Sunday night, home opener for UVA with a 65-34 win over JMU. I'm going to get Scott in the picture here a little bit better. And second straight game that UVA holds an opponent to 34 points. JMU played well for a good while in this first half, actually led with 7:30 to go in the first half. Virginia closes that half on a 15-6 run and then outscores JMU, what would it be, 34-11 in the second half as JMU goes 4 of 25 from the floor in the final 20 minutes. Scott, first impressions of this win for Virginia.
I see a theme.
34?
34. It's coming into my mind. I'm not quite sure why yet, but maybe eventually it will.
Yeah. Mama Diakite, 19 points, 13 rebounds. Jay Huff, 11.7 rebounds. Braxton Key, 14 points, 10 rebounds. You know, we thought going into the season, we were here just last week for Media Day, and, you know, I know that a lot of us were thinking, of, you know, this team will be strong in the post. The issues will come from the perimeter. Through two games, I have to say, okay, yeah, 34 points per game defensively. The big guys are playing well. If there's a question, I guess we have to throw some water on this fire here a little bit. Perimeter play is leaving a lot to be desired.
Well, we wouldn't be true Cavalier fans if we didn't look for the storm clouds. And again, horrendous night from behind the arc. 4 of 24.
After a 4 of 25 performance at Syracuse.
So there's a theme, there's a trend that we're not happy with. Plus, if you break it down, some guys that are out there strictly for that shooting are not getting it done. Statman had a horrendous night from behind the line. Yeah, that's a little alarming. I guess we wouldn't be true Virginia fans unless we picked out something that's not quite what we wanted. It's going to have to get better because the competition is going to be, you know, eventually we're going to have to shoot better than 17% from behind the line.
Yeah, Cody Statman 0 for 6, Casey Morsell 0 for 5, Kia Clark 1 for 5. Braxton Key was it was actually Key and Diakite. They were a combined 3 of 6. So the two of your post guys were actually your best 3-point shooters on the night. The rest of the team 1 for 18. So yeah, that's going to be an issue. I will say that we were paying attention. Statman and Morsell both, you know, for guys, Statman is a sophomore but played 73 garbage time minutes last year. Defensively, he is on point. And Morsell, just in his second game as a Cavalier, a true freshman. Also a pretty solid defender. So that's where you earn your playing time with Tony Bennett is on the defensive end, and the shooting will have to come. It will come, but it will have to come from those guys. Tomas Walter-Tensai did not play tonight. We keep saying Tomas. It's actually Thomas. We heard him on the big screen tonight introduce himself as Tomas Walter-Tensai, the Italian JUCO product. He was in a walking boot, did not play tonight. So he is presumptively your three-point weapon on this team. Shot 47% from three-point range last season in JUCO ball, but he was not dressed out tonight. And Virginia, kind of a limited bench. Only 11 guys dressed out, at least until a couple of the managers suited up in the waning last couple minutes there.
Yeah, did their Clark Kent impersonations. We talked about being on the end of the bench. They were behind the bench.
Yeah, Grant Kersey got in the game. And Palumbo, I don't know Palumbo's first name. I'll have to learn that between now and the next game. But Kersey actually scored again. He picked up a loose ball and got a layup. You know, so on a night when you're 4 of 24 from three-point range, a JMU team, this is not a bad JMU team. They were picked fourth in the preseason in the CAA. They beat Charlotte back on Wednesday night. Charlotte coached by Ron Sanchez, former longtime UVA top assistant under Tony Bennett, came here with him from Washington State, actually. So, you know, beating that Charlotte team in their opener told you that this JMU team is a little bit for real. And for it was 13 minutes of this game they led. It was actually a tight game up until about the 4.5 minute mark of the first half. Then you win 65-34. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it was 23-22 with about 4 minutes to go in the first half. Virginia went on a run to close out 31. I think they opened up a 31-20 lead. JMU hit a three to make it 31-23 at the break. And then it was all Virginia the second half. We hope the shooting will come. You know, the concern about some of the individual shooting was, and I was thinking, what effect maybe the longer three-point line might have, but one of our colleagues pointed it out during the games. Statman shooting over five from behind the line. He played with that line all summer.
Yeah.
So it's not like this is
– it's the international game, yeah. He played the FIBA World Cup where that line is the line, yeah. And, you know, it'll come – you know, Statman too particularly, even though for a guy who shot the ball nine times tonight, which is actually second on the team, he was being given open shots and was a bit reluctant. We were actually on press row here, our little section of press row, Jerry Ratliff to Scott's left. You know, we would note that, hey, if they're going to give you that shot, you got to shoot it. You're on the floor to shoot that shot. If you're not going to shoot that shot, they're going to sag off of you. So it'll come. I mean, you know, he's a guy who shot 47% from three-point range in the FIBA World Cup this summer. Obviously, for a couple of games, though, Virginia 4 of 25, 4 of 24. You're 8 of 49. That's right, just over 16% three-point range. That's not going to win you a lot of games in January, February, and March. So that's going to have to improve. But one thing we like to say here in Charlottesville, we've been saying this for going on 11 years now, shooting comes and goes. Defense never leaves you. And for two nights, Virginia has shot poorly from the field, and they've won by 14 and 31 points against good opponents by playing great defense.
Yeah, the defense travels as well, too. So it also – it's also – you play at home and away, and we play two great defensive – we've had two great defensive efforts in our first few games. The shooting will come. I think, you know, we have – we're not factoring in – Statman played in garbage time. He's out on the floor now when he counts. He's got to get a feel for the game, flow for the game. And he's out there right now also because he does play solid defense.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he plays – he's a great both one-ball defender and positional defender. He knows the pack line well. That's what has impressed me the most through two games, Scott. I thought I'd bring that point up. You know, when we were here a week and a half ago for media day, the one thought I had in my head was this team will be fine from a talent standpoint. They'll be actually more than fine. But the only question I would have had would have been about the ability of these new guys. And I'll count Statman as a new guy. He played 73 garbage time minutes last year in 18 games. You know, Morcell was playing high school ball this time last year. K.A. Clark's the only guy in the backcourt right now that was here last year playing significant minutes. Thomas Wotan-Tensai did play tonight, but he was not playing big minutes. You know, I thought it would be a problem for these guys to play the pack line. It would come eventually, but because we've seen guys struggle to pick up the pack line. Joe Harris, Malcolm Brogdon, Anthony Gill. It took them months to pick up the pack line, a couple of years in a couple of cases. These guys, that's one thing, their shooting's not there, but their defense is already here.
Yeah, and that's encouraging to me because we know you're not going to see the floor if you're not playing defensively. And I think as they get adjusted to the college game, that's going to come. And their role, their niche will be a little more carved out. You know, we're not even, you know, I still say that Huff is adjusting to a new role.
Sure.
Because he's not going to be a 15-minute player this year. He's having to, you know, he's probably going to be a 25 30-minute player.
Two straight games playing 29 minutes, yeah.
And that's a new one.
That's true.
Because all of a sudden you have to have that confident mindset that you can't come in and play with reckless abandon. You got to play under control. You got to be – that's a little more –
it's like
got to be a little cognizant of that.
It's like going from being a relief pitcher to a starter.
Exactly.
You can't throw 100 miles an hour for an inning. You got to pace yourself over six or seven. So Huff's doing well with that. So let's bring a couple of fan elements into this. I got to say, Scott, this was the first home game in 8 months. First UVA game we've attended in 7 months. The pregame here included, and I imagine this will be something they'll play every game. So for fans who didn't get to come tonight, if you're watching right now, you probably didn't get to come tonight. You'll experience this hopefully sometime this season. There was a great little two and a half minute tribute video that included a lot of highlights from last year. Of course, highlights of the championship game, the celebrations, both in Minneapolis and in Charlottesville. I got to say, first UVA game in JPJ in 8 months, first UVA game for me in person in 7 months, it brought a tear to my eye. You know, as much as we've seen these highlights and watched these games over and over and over, and hell, a couple of us have written a book about this, right? It's still being here, hearing the band play, seeing the fans cheer, seeing the team play in front of you. It was kind of an emotional moment for a lot of us.
Especially for some of us that have seen a lot more of it than others. I just attribute the tears in my eyes. I have allergies.
Yeah, that's right.
And the goosebumps on my arms. It was awful cold in here.
Right? It was a little chilly. Yeah, it was a little chilly. Nice moment, though.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we're sitting here looking at a national championship banner.
Right, it's up there. Yeah.
Right in front of us. Yeah, and I also have on my phone now as my screensaver. Yeah. So, yeah, if you haven't had a, I would suggest coming out and seeing some of the early season games, because just taking a look at the secondary market, the prices are going to go, out of the ceiling after the first of the year. I've checked some of the ACC games. Even the upper levels are close to $100.
And I was going to say about that banner that's hanging up there.
Right.
That's not going anywhere. This isn't Louisville. That banner's hanging there forever.
Yeah, in our program, they're not going to have a defined print title removed as they do in the Louisville program.
Had to get that dig in there.
That banner staying. The only thing that banner may have to have happened to it is it may have to move down a little bit.
Got a comment. Scott McGuffin, been waiting to see that banner since I was 7 years old. Scott, it's beautiful. It's awesome. Yeah, I've been waiting to see that banner. Probably 7 years old. We were both, Scott's a high school classmate of mine. No, he's a high school classmate of mine. 7 years old was when Ralph was a first year here. So, yeah, we've been waiting for that for a little while. And thank you, Scott, for pointing that out. Yeah, for me, 40 years. Yeah, 40 years. You for longer than that. Your dad brought you to games when he had to pick you up and carry you in.
Yeah.
For the free seat that you would get being carried in here when you were 6 or 7 years old.
Not at JPJ. U-Haul.
So. U-Haul, yeah. You didn't go to games in Mem Gym.
I did not.
I heard a lot about them.
But Scott, don't be surprised if you see another one in the next year or two. Saw a good T-shirt today at the bookstore.
Louisville will always have their memories. Yes, they will, Scott. We won't say we have bookers. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So the T-shirt that you might want to check out at the bookstore for the mask for this season is prepare to defend, expect to repeat.
That's a good way to end this, I think. So Scott and I, this is going to be a weird week. Scott German and I, this is going to be a weird week because there's no UVA football this weekend, bye week. Good thing with the team being, the secondary especially being decimated as they are. Scott will be here on Saturday for Columbia. I will not be here. I've got an ESPN broadcasting assignment on that game. And I also won't be here for the following Tuesday when Virginia plays Vermont, I believe it is. Because I have a concert to go to. I bought concert tickets ahead of time. One little beef we could have among many beefs we could have with the ACC as far as how they roll their schedules out. They do it so close to the start of the season that you make plans. And so, in fact, I've got plans for a third game. I'm going to see Hamilton, and I'll miss the game before the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So Scott German will be anchoring our coverage for those three. Scott,
it's a hard life.
It's a hard
someone's
got
to do it. And I also gave you the suggestion is to put the banner, put the national championship banner as your screen saver. And when you're watching your concert, doing your VMI chores, just look at that.
During the intermission, Hamilton, get the reminder there. Yeah. So Scott German will be leading our coverage for those games, and he'll do fine. He's been to 2 Final Fours. But Scott, I got to point out for the folks paying attention here, the 2 you went to,
we lost,
and you were unfortunately ill for the last one. And what happened? We won that one, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure Scott's allowed to a Final Four is what I'm getting at here, but he's going to anchor our coverage the next few games, so he'll be fine there. We'll bring Scott back, but if we lose that one, you're never allowed back.
Yeah, well, and I may not.
You may
self-imposed
superstition.
I may slap myself on the wrist before the NCAA gets a chance. I don't want to get the UNC death sentence.
Yeah, well, you know,
University of Northern Colorado.
UNC has an academic scandal, so Northern Colorado is going to be feeling some pain for a while there. Yeah, that's right. Final score 65-34. We've had some fun here, as you can see, here this Sunday night. And thank you for joining us. And for our listeners on our podcast, which we'll place on the podcast stream later, thank you for joining us as well. Have a great night, everybody.